following is a remastered version of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Welcome, everybody, to turn 56 of A Worthy Opponent, the oh-so-casual podcast for the card game Hearthstone by Blizzard Entertainment. With me tonight is Micmac.
Greetings, traveler.
And I guess I should say who I am. This is Autumn's Bane, standing in for the absent Blacklace, who can't be with us tonight.
No, she can't.
So in 56 turns, I finally have the helm.
Wow, how about that? How do you feel?
I don't know. I'm no Blacklace. Now, all the nerd boys who listen just to hear her voice are just hanging up now, right?
Yeah, half the viewers. We'll have the listeners this week.
Like, oh, I didn't hear what happened. I cut out after the first 10 seconds. So, Vol'jin is a shadow hunter, which is like a shadow priest, except more voodoo.
Is that Garrosh? Has to be Garrosh.
No, I'll give you a hint. I started playing Troll in the introductory area of World of Warcraft this week because they've upped the Troll's graphics and they finally look cool instead of ugly. And one of the things they do at the very beginning is they show a cinematic hologram image for the new character to see this conversation between Garrosh, whom you just named, and the person I'm talking about.
It's the war chief, Vol'jin.
It be Vol'jin, man. He's a 5 casting cost, 6-2, battle cry, swap health with another minion. The problem with this card, there's only one problem. You know what the problem is with this card?
The problem with this card is if there aren't any other minions on the board, or if there are weaker minions than 2 health out there.
Those are minor problems. There's a more major problem.
Does it have to do with Vol'jin himself and his class?
Not at all. It has to do with the fact that it's a frickin' priest card.
Oh, there we go.
And this is the legendary I got today.
And I got it too.
We both got it. And how many of us play priest?
0.
Talk about luck.
Although I kind of am inclined to play this card because he's so powerful.
Maybe they put him in here so that more people would play priests.
Possibly. I mean, the nice control priest deck right now with Vol'jin and some of these other new Goblins vs. Gnomes cards, it's really tantalizing.
Tantalizing. But, you know, other people we know got much better legendaries. Blacklace actually got Godzilla.
So jealous. I love that card. First of all, the artwork on the card is awesome. It's this big Hydra. And then, of course, you can do some crazy damage.
Yeah, I didn't even realize when I first saw the card that it had that special ability. Here, let's talk about it. Gazrilla, legendary, for 7 casting costs, he's a 6-9. He's a beast, so that synergizes well. Whenever this minion takes damage, double its attack. And it's not double its attack when it takes damage. It's double its attack every time it takes damage. It says whenever. So imagine a priest throws out arcane missiles and all 3 of them hit him. And suddenly it's just like 6, 12, 18, 24, 6 creature. Oh man. It's just so sweet. And I think we deserve it after King Crush.
So I think actually that it's exponential. So instead of being 6, 12, 18, it's 6, 12,
24, 48. Yeah, I think. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. That's the way it's worded. May not be the way it plays out.
Hopefully it plays out like that. That's so awesome. I was thinking with this card, right? We had the... I don't have my library in front of me because, like many other people right now, I can't log into battle.net because everyone else is trying to get in and it's just a bottleneck. But if you had the Tundra Rhino, the 2/5, it gives your other beast charge, okay? Play the Godzilla, and then you play 2 Arcane Shots, dealing 2 damage to your Godzilla, right? So now he's 24, and then if you had, like, I don't know, an Elven Archer or something, to do 1 more damage to him. 48 damage with charge. That's the game.
Yeah, and of course, the legendary that's even seemingly more powerful than this one, our good friend Xander, behind the booth, got. And that is Mel'Ganis. Which, if you thought Lord Jiraxxus was badass, Mel'Ganis is a 9/7 for 9. Your other demons have +2/+2, which I'm glad they're keeping up the theme with making warlocks use demons again, because that's nice. But here's the kicker. Your hero is immune. So while he's out, you can't beat your opponent. Amazing.
So, I wonder how immunity works. I know for Ice Block, you can't be damaged. And I want to know the exact wording for immunity, because I wonder if you are immune to fatigue or not. That's the way that you could die.
I think immunity means you don't take damage. I'm going to find a spell that has immunity, and I'm going to tell you exactly what it means in just a moment.
Okay, I know, but Ice Block, you know, has it.
You know, while I'm looking for that, we kind of went out of order. Clearly, that's the first big piece of news, that Goblins versus Gnomes is out, or else we wouldn't be talking about getting these cards. But before we get into, as everybody's calling it on the interwebs, GVG, let's talk about some of the other stuff that happened this week. Why don't you talk about the big news for Hearthstone itself?
All right, sure. So this past week were the Game Awards 2014 out in Las Vegas, Nevada, Sin City. So there's multiple categories for these awards here, and there are quite a few, like Best Fighting Game, Best Family Game, Best Sports Racing Game, etc. Well, Hearthstone was a candidate for quite a few. They were nominees for Game of the Year, nominee for Best Online Experience, and they were actually a winner in the Best Mobile / Handheld Game. So congrats, Blizzard and Hearthstone, and let's also congrats Firebat yet again for being a nominee for one of the Best Esports Players of the Year. That's such great news for the game. I can't tell you how much I love this game. It's just you can play it, you know, if you have like an iPad, you can play it while you're cooking some breakfast, maybe cooking some lunch, on the treadmill, which I'm going to start doing once it happens for Android, so I can use it on my Kindle.
And it's also good for ETT.
ETT?
Yes. So I don't talk about other podcasters much, but there's a podcaster, the Convert to Raid podcast, which I admire greatly. His name is Coltrane, and he's constantly talking about ETT, which is effective toilet time.
Ha! I love that. That's excellent. That's where I spend most of my time, effectively.
So I play a lot of games making use of my ETT. Anyway, in answer to your question, the exact words for immune. Immune characters can't be damaged. Doesn't mention the source. They cannot be damaged. So they can't even fatigue out.
Wow. Okay. So I suppose that if you have Mel'Ganis out, the only way that you can die as a warlock is
to kill him first.
To kill him first, but if you don't, if you are Lord Jiraxxus, if you hear Lord Jiraxxus, okay, and you use, I think it's Sacrificial Pact, you will win. That's the card that destroys a demon. So
if the other warlock uses it on you. I had that happen to me once.
Oh, it's disgusting. But
like, he just one-shotted my hero with a single card. How the hell does that happen? Oh, I'm a demon now. I get it.
Right. Impossible.
So, other news. Big nerfs. And I promise I won't cry too much. But I think the latest news on nerfs makes my class, the Hunter, the most nerfed class in this game, don't you think?
Yeah, I think you're right.
I finally started using two flares in a deck, thanks to pizza.
Yummy.
And now flares cost two instead of one.
So, you're not going to like this, but I kind of think it was a little necessary. I know you're not a fan of what I'm about to say, but it was really overpowered to pay one mana, draw a card, and destroy secrets, and all minions lose stealth. Or all minions, or all enemy minions lose stealth. Like, I can't log into my database, so...
But, well, I will tell you.
Let me
find it.
But yeah, I just think that was... It needed to happen. And it's just two mana.
All minions lose stealth and destroy all enemy secrets. And you want to know something? Until you mentioned it just now, I didn't even realize that it unstealthed people, because I never actually used it to bring people out of stealth. I was never actually in a position to do that. Had I been in a position, I would have realized it. I use it exclusively to get rid of secrets in the past. And it's nice when a mage throws down three secrets and you throw that card out. But, you know, they made up for it in more ways than one. And I'm jump ahead to the Goblins versus Gnomes card. Between the nerf of Flare and the addition to this one card, I think you're going to see a lot less Flare being used. And you know which card I'm talking about?
The Kazistan Mystic? Is that how it's pronounced?
The Kazan Mystic.
Kazan! Kazakhstan!
Some son of a bitch in Arena used this against me. He called out two of him. Two of them! I was playing a mage, and I had a trap out. It's not a trap if it's a mage. I had a secret in play. He cast his forecasting cost 4/3 Kazan Mystic. It's a rare battle cry. Take control of a random enemy secret. So not only do I lose my secret, now I have to deal with that secret that I played with my own mana, and now I have to change my entire strategy to work around that secret. And if that's not bad enough, it's toward the end of the game, I'm doing badly, this guy is just kicking my ass, I put out another secret, and out comes a second Kazan Mystic. How do you get two in an arena game?
So random. And what a swift kick to the family jewels that must have been.
Yeah, so first they hurt my flare, then they put out the Kazan Mystic, which anyone can use. So,
right, it's a neutral card.
So I don't know, getting a 4/3 minion for 4 and that ability, I may just never play flare again.
I think it still has its places because you can draw a card, but yeah, I don't see a lot of... Well, we'll have to see what happens in the meta. We don't know what's going to happen for sure, but you know, I have to suspect there won't be a lot of other secrets being played.
Of course. And there were two other nerfs this week, and I always lead with the Hunter stuff because I play Hunter so often. But I also play Warlock, and the Warlock's got a kick in the nads too. In fact, I think their kick in the nads was worse than the Hunter one.
Yeah, definitely. I think it was, because I also play Warlock. I've been laddering up at Warlock recently, and since the change, I've actually had two games where I would have won. I played maybe, I don't know.
Tell people what the change was.
Oh, yes, of course. So, Soulfire was 0 mana, and it deals 4 damage, discard a card. It now costs 1 mana. And you wouldn't think that's a big deal, but it really is. And it's... I kind of think it's more fairly priced now because it was a really good card. But you need good cards. You need bad cards. You need okay cards. This is a really good card. Now it's, I guess, costed for what it does. But there were some instances where I would... I play a Zulok deck where I have Leroy Jenkins, the 6/2 with charge. I still use Leroy. Yes, some people out there are questioning me because Leroy was nerfed. Leroy Jenkins used to be 4 mana, and now he's 5. So I still use Leroy in my Zulok decks, which is going to change now. But anyways, I use that in Power Overwhelming, which gives a minion +4/+4. And so that on turn six, deals 10 damage. Plus the Soulfire for 0 would deal 14. And there were instances where I saw the game in my hand, but I was one mana short to use my Soulfire with. So that's just one thing we're going to have to get used to in the, you know, coming when Hearthstone starts to come to fruition, you know, in the next few months, years, etc.
Yeah, well, it's kind of convenient when it's like end game. You got no cards left in your hand. You're completely out of mana, and you can still pop someone for 4 points of damage, and no more.
Nope, no more. And there were two games where I would have won. I played a dozen games in ladder with Warlock, Zulok specifically, and I would have won the game two additional times if Soulfire was zero still. But that's the way the world works, so we'll just have to work with it.
It is. And, you know, you mentioned Leroy Jenkins, which got the nerf, and there were two main reasons they nerfed that. One was the Hunter Rush deck, but more importantly was the Miracle Rogue. Well, the Miracle Rogue got another chisel in its monument. Another chipping away at this rock of the rogue players. And you know what that is, right?
Chipping away at the rock of the rogue that the Gadgetzin Auctioneer is now 6 mana as opposed to 5.
That's probably a pretty big detriment, no?
Yeah, I definitely think it is. It was a really good card before. Again, it was situational, so you had to have the proper cards around it. But now it's even harder for any player using Gadgetzin Auctioneer to go fishing and to cycle through the deck for what they're looking for. So it'll still be used. People will still make it work. But yeah, it just is more difficult now.
So that was all three, right? Just the Flare, the Gadgetzin Auctioneer, and the Soulfire.
Yep, that's what I have too.
The game interface kept changing what they were saying. Like today, it actually spelled it out. These three cards were changed, and this is exactly what happened to them. But over the past several days, I've been getting different warnings, like, this card has changed. Okay, it's changed how? You know, this card has changed from this mana to this mana, and also this card was changed, and there were no details about it. I don't know who makes up these announcements, but they were kind of all over the place, from giving us no information whatsoever other than the fact that it's changed, to finally today telling us exactly what changed.
Right, I noticed that too. The past few days I was logging in and I would see the following cards with an S have changed. Yeah, I just did an auctioneer and then that was it. I just said okay. I just went through. I saw it on the breaking news on the Battle.net homepage here when you log into Warcraft, Hearthstone, Diablo, etc. And I saw the breaking news, but yeah, it's kind of confusing if you don't look there. It's like, oh, what happened?
Yeah. So, it's funny, they did a bunch of nerfs in beta, and they did a bunch of nerfs just before Naxx, and now just before Goblins versus Gnomes, they do another bunch of nerfs. And, I don't know about you, but I think there are a whole bunch of cards that just got released that are going to see the nerf bat in the future.
Absolutely. And there's one in specific, Unstable Portal, which is a 2-mana spell for the mage. You put a random minion into your hand, and that minion now costs, I believe it's 4 less. Think about that. That's unbelievable.
What was the name of that card again?
Unstable Portal. It's a mage card for 2. The spell.
It's a rare. Okay. Add a random minion to your hand. It costs 3 less.
3 less, excuse me. Yes, I have my collection, so I have a webpage here opened up. But yeah, that's another issue that we can discuss. People can't get into Battle.net. I'm sure people are listening to this right now, and they're having their own issues getting in because everybody's trying to play this amazing game, and the servers can only hold so many people.
Yeah, so let's start with, what day was it? Was it Thursday or Wednesday? One day last week after our podcast, because, of course, the news usually breaks right after our podcast, but not today, not today. We get this invitation to play Arena, free, one game, and in the arena, we get a bunch of Goblins versus Gnomes cards, and, you know, people came out of the woodwork to play, not only to get free cards, but not free cards, not only to play a free game, but to get a sneak peek at playing these cards, and everybody's experience was different. I lost 3 and only won 1, and I got horrible selection of cards. Every card that I got that was a Goblins versus Gnome was like 4 casting costs or less. I didn't get any of the big meaty cards. How did your arena experience go?
So, I just wanted to play all the new cards I could. So I was just snatching up cards, like, as I saw fit, that were goblins and gnomes. Like, I would choose the new card over the better card, in that sense. So I went 4-3 with my arena run. I think I was a mage, if I'm not mistaken. There were some really cool cards. But yeah, it's everybody was doing arena, it seemed, because it was free. Why not? I had a good time.
During the pre-launch event, and it's funny, World of Warcraft almost always had pre-launch events, so it was kind of nice to see a pre-launch event for this, because we didn't get one for Naxxramas.
Right.
It was just, Nax is here now, okay. And notice they didn't make us wait until like midnight tonight to get it.
Like I know, I was surprised.
So that was kind of nice. But so, during the course of the arena, certain things were different. First of all, the box that said arena was lit up with lightning, and that was kind of like to draw everybody's attention to it. Did you notice that?
I did.
And Black Lace hated it. She's like, I can't wait for this thing to be gone. I hope it's gone when the game releases. And it was. So I think it was just there during the pre-launch. It won't be there forever.
Did you notice the other little Easter egg that they did on the homepage there when you log into Hearthstone?
I don't recall. Tell me.
The solo adventures, there was some smoke around it. At first, yes. I thought it was from the electrical charge of the arena, like, you know, floating upwards. But actually, if you were to click on solo adventures, you can play the class challenges with the new cards, assuming that they're in that deck. So, for example, I played the Hunter class challenge, and Web Spinner gives out beasts. A little 1-1 with the death rattle. And I called him Mulgor, but his name is Malorn, correct?
Malorn, yes.
Yeah, I got that card from Web Spinner. I think a lot of people got that card from Web Spinner, it seemed. I think Ringo did as well, too. Real quick,
Well, that happened to me in regular play. I was playing with my regular Hunter deck, and I actually tweeted out this picture and put it on Facebook. I got the new Hunter Beast card, which I did not get today. I was rather disappointing also, but I'll get it eventually. There's a Hunter card called King of Beasts, I believe. And yeah, King of Beasts. It's a 5 casting cost, 2/6 minion, has Taunt and Battle Cry, gain +1 attack for each other beast you have. And it's a rare, and it's in my hand, and I'm like, where the hell did this thing come from? Because I don't always look to see what I got immediately when my Web Spinner dies, because sometimes there's a flurry of activity, and you don't realize that, if somebody does a Flame Strike or something and wipes out several minions, you don't always pay attention to every single thing that happened, you know, in the flurry of activity. So I just look down, I'm like, that's weird artwork. I've never seen that before. So here, this is interesting. You don't have it on iPad. The iPad update took place last week during the arena pre-launch thing. So when they put everything into the game, they just didn't unlock it. So the random aspects, those beasts, were now in the database. It was in the build. So even though the cards were not unlocked for us to purchase and play and constructed in our regular decks, these mechanics were still available in the database for random occurrences. And I just hadn't put two and two together like that until after the King of Beasts showed up and your Malorn showed up.
When you saw this card in your hand, did you think it was a weird-looking Savannah Highmane? Or did you say, this isn't Savannah Highmane, what is this?
No, I didn't think it was that because the artwork is hideous. In fact, I would say that this one card is the single ugliest card in the entire expansion, even uglier than some of those creepy gnomes.
The creepy gnomes.
Some of those gnomes are pretty creepy and scary. It's just like a second grader drew this lion.
Yeah, well, it's better than what I could have ever hoped to draw, so...
My apologies to Seamus Gallagher. This is not your best work.
I'm sure he knows that too.
So, the pre-launch event goes. there's the arenas, and then they announce. I don't know, when they announced that it would be released on the 8th, were you a little surprised that it would come that soon in December? Because usually when they say it's coming in December, we think, okay, 2 days after Christmas, right?
Yeah, I was thinking the 31st on New Year's Eve, you know, Pacific Standard Time, 11:59, and then it was actually going to get released to myself on the East Coast at around, you know, 2:59 a.m. in the morning. So, but no, I saw the 8th and I got really excited, like instantly. I was like, oh boy.
Well, along with the pre-launch was not just the ability to play cards in Arena and not just the ability to draw a King of Beasts or a Malorn when you lost your web spinner, but subtly more exciting, observer mode or spectator mode, whatever they want to call it. Did you get a lot of people looking at your games?
I did. I had a couple people pop in. I saw that you popped in for a little bit as I was getting my ass handed to me on a golden platter in Arena.
Yeah, I didn't want to distract you, so I left as soon as I saw that you were about to die.
Yeah, there was no hope for me in that game. And then some of the people on my friends list, I know Crosley came in. I think Deathpone came in too. People came in and out. They watched me play. I think Forrest was watching me as well.
Yeah, I had my experience was two, maybe three people came to watch me. But the irony is that you came to watch me during lunch, and you watched me play your own Warrior deck with a couple of tweaks. So there I am playing your deck, or a deck that used to be yours. I copied it from you. And I'm like, oh, great. Micmac's going to watch how terribly I play a Warrior. And I won. And then the game where the King of Beasts came out, our listener Breezy, one day I'll get him to send us a pronunciation guide on that. He's watching me, and I didn't even realize it. And then he's like congratulating me and telling me all this stuff about what a great play it was. And like, I was so busy concentrating on the game and being surprised by this King of Beasts that I didn't even realize someone was watching. But apparently, if somebody's watching me, I always win. That's a new mechanic, isn't it?
It is. They actually released that in the patch notes. If you watch Autumn's Bane, he will automatically win. So let's help him out, folks.
Oh, it doesn't work for watching you, though.
No, I instantly lose. I get choked up, and I lose terribly.
So the spectator mode is just great. Black Lace's theory that you can spectate while somebody's opening cards proved to be invalid.
Unfortunately.
But you do get to watch people play. So that's a lot to give us, you know, a few days of playing Arena. And you remember Dustin the White, don't you?
Sure do. Paladin.
So he posted on Facebook. In fact, we have never had more posts on Facebook as we did in the past week when I started posting pictures of some of these odd events. Dustin had a theory that they released the Arena so that people would spend all of their gold playing Arena, and then when the expansion came out, would have to pay cash for it.
I think he's right, to be quite honest, because people... This was brilliant marketing by Blizzard. So people would play their one little Arena run, the free card, and say, oh boy, this is great, I want to play again. It's only 150 gold, not a big deal. And then they get addicted to it. And then they slowly... they don't have their surplus of gold used, saved up to buy the packs. So they have to use cash money instead.
Yep. And people who probably never play Arena in their life were in there playing because, you know, why not? Especially,
right.
And it was like Blizzard was being a drug dealer, you know, it's like, hey, take a taste. This one's free. Oh no, you want to play again? You gotta pay a little.
Just like the Sopranos.
Yeah.
I got an offer for you, you can't refuse.
You know, all the goblins talk like gangsters anyway.
They have to do.
So now we have live today, and apparently there is a trend that when Blizzard makes a game or an expansion or a new set of anything they do, it is almost always a huge success, and almost always more people respond than they could possibly have dreamed. This happened when World of Warcraft launched, and they made all of these packages, and they said, oh, here's a year's supply. This ought to hold us for the year. And they, like, sold everything they'd made for the whole year in, like, a week. And then you had the recent Warlords of Draenor. They were sitting at 7.5 million subscribers to World of Warcraft. Warlords of Draenor hits, suddenly there's 10 million players. Numbers they haven't seen in years that nobody, not even they, thought they would see again. Suddenly there's 10 million players, and with the DDoS attacks combined with the massive number of players, the game was practically shut down for a couple of days, and they actually gave away free game time. Well, guess what? This works in Hearthstone too, because it happened in Naxxramas, and it's happening again today. Our chat room is filled with people who can't get into the game.
Yes, and one of the co-hosts can't get into the game either.
Well, you're one of the people in the chat room I was talking about. So, tell me, man on the street, what's your experience right now trying to get into Hearthstone?
I can't get in. It's very frustrating. Interestingly enough, I was able to get in earlier today. So right when it went live, I saw a post that it was going live at 2 p.m. So I planned my day around that. And it came up at 2 p.m. and there was maintenance going on. And the maintenance extended to close to 4 p.m. And I was actually able to get in around 4:30, 5 o'clock. And I am a person that pays cash for the game. I have no problem doing so. I don't, you know, go into massive amounts of debt doing so. But I bought myself 60 packs of cards today. And I'm very happy to give Blizzard that money so I can get these cards.
60 packs?
I did. I bought 60 packs and I smiled. Every single pack I opened, I had this big grin on my face.
That's a lot. It says here 60 packs costs $69.99.
Yep. And I wanted to do it. I was planning on doing it. I use a lot of my gold for arena runs. And I have been struggling recently, so I haven't saved up a lot of gold. So, yeah, I had no problem doing that. I have a lot of respect for people that can save up their gold and just, you know, unload all of that onto their packs and such. But I like playing in the arena too much. So, yep, that's what I did. And I have absolutely zero regrets about it.
Well, I'm wondering if the other people who tried to get in and couldn't are also hung up because of the whole cash shop thing. Because if you recall, that's what happened in Naxx. It was the cash shop that was causing the problems, right?
Right, and you're absolutely correct. So when I logged in, I went to the shop, and I went to go buy my packs. I typed my password in, had all my information there, and it was just frozen. And I saw the little Hearthstone stone just spinning. And it said, please wait, or authorizing, authenticating, whatever it said. And it was there for 3 minutes, 5 minutes. Checked on different forums, and I saw that Zariah, one of the community managers, said that this will take some time. I'm like, okay, not a problem. And I had saw that some of the people also had the same issue. Went downstairs, made myself a coffee, came back in about 10 minutes, and it was still there. It was spinning for 20 minutes, and I eventually clicked off of it, and it minimized the shop. An hour went by. A full hour went by, and nothing happened. Then it just kicked me out of the game, and the purchase never went through. I went back to it. I typed in it again. I made sure it didn't charge my credit card or anything. And it did it instantly. I instantly got my 60 packs.
So you got your 60 packs and you opened them, but now you can't get back in again.
Correct. It's it's kind of like opening up all your Christmas presents on Christmas Eve and just not being able to touch them until Christmas morning.
Okay, you open them up, stick them in the closet. You can't play with them.
Yeah, I'm so frustrated right now. But I understand why it is, because this game is so great. So I'm frustrated, but I'm completely understanding, if that makes sense.
Well, I was at work, and Blacklace came home early, and so she was here on her computer, and you were off on your computer, and I was on the iPad. And you told me what time it was supposed to start, and so I just kept turning on the iPad in between patients. And
nice.
I'm like, no, it's just sitting there at the screen. What's going on? And then you would whisper me and say, no, it's they're not ready quite yet. And then finally, when you were in Warcraft because you got tired of waiting, I got in. I'm like, okay, between now and my next patient, let me just open 3 packs. And I opened them, bing, bang, boom, real quick. And it was not a problem. And I had a patient to deal with, and I did my work for which I was getting paid to do. And the patient left. I had a few minutes before the next one. So I went to open it up again, and it was an opening. I'm like, oh no, the ghosts of Nax. So I got out. I went to make sure that the Wi-Fi was connected. I came back. It still wasn't working. I turned my iPad off completely, and then I turned it back on again, and it was working. And so I had saved, as of lunchtime today, finishing 2 quests, I had 1,905 gold. Now I have 5 gold. So 19 packs I bought plus the 3 free. And odds are, what did we say long ago, that the average person gets 1 legendary in 25 packs or so?
Something like that.
And so I got, in 23 packs, 1 legendary. Black Lace in 26 packs because she had more gold. On her last pack, she got 1 legendary. You got, what, 60 packs you said? So 63 packs. And 63 packs, how many legendaries did you get?
I got 3 normal legendaries and 1 golden legendary.
You got 4, so you beat the odds there.
I did. I had 2 packs in a row. I went through 50 packs. Or 53 packs, I forgot the number, but around there someplace. And I was a little depressed that I didn't get more legendaries, and then I cracked open Bulgin. And I'm like, alright, it's pretty good. And then I cracked open a golden Neptulon. So I'm obviously going to make a Murloc Shaman deck. So let's talk about Neptulon real quick.
Is that the one that summons Murlocs?
That's it. So first of all, the artwork on it, golden, looks amazing. There's these fish that swim around, and he's submerged underwater. He looks so badass. The artwork is great. Card, well, that's debatable, I suppose. But Neptulon is a 7-mana, 7-7. His battle cry is add 4 random Murlocs to your hand. Overload of 3. So,
random Murlocs. So it could be the good ones, too.
It could be the good ones. It could be the bad ones. We don't know. Overall, he costs 10 mana. Again, it's overloaded, so 7 now, and you pay 3 later on. But yeah, if you want to make a Murloc deck, this is one of the better cards to have, I think. So, you know, obviously
how many Murloc decks have you ever played that actually made it to turn 7?
So here's the thing, right? You're absolutely correct. When I first started laddering, one of my initial decks was a Murloc deck. Okay, shoot me now, I know. However, I think that if a problem with Murloc decks, as with any aggro deck, is that they run out of steam, right? So let's say it's turn, I don't know, 7, okay, and you're playing a mage, and the mage flame strikes, and all your Murlocs are dead. Well, boo-hoo, that kind of sucks. Next turn, you play Neptulon, and then you have 4 more Murlocs, so you can sort of keep the ball rolling still. Because a lot of decks, a lot of people, the way they play these, you know, like a control-y deck, is that they'll just, you know, throw everything they have at your minions, trying to just knock them out, and so they can just, like, pummel you later on. You're out of gas. But this could be, switch. Right, this could be the second wind to keep you going. It's definitely situational, and like you said, you might die before turn 7, but I think it could be useful, so we'll have to see.
And I don't see too many Shaman decks playing Murloc decks, but I guess the totems would really enhance them. You got the taunt totems to keep them off your Murlocs on one-on-one combat. You've got the healing totems to bring the wounded ones back. You've got the, you know, that totem that, I forgot what I was going to say, senior moment. Anyway, you have benefit from the totems. But Blacklace, who plays the Shaman, she looks and says, what the hell is there a Murloc card doing in the Shaman collection?
I know.
That took us by surprise. I would have expected to see it in a Warlock deck, but I guess Blizzard realized Warlocks don't need any help in the Murloc department.
Yeah. apparently not. They're already overloaded with that.
So, you got Vol'jin, you got Neptulon, but you said you got 2 others.
I did. So, I got one of the better legendaries, in my opinion, I got a Sneed's Old Shredder. So let me, I'll have to scroll up my webpage.
All of these cards from dungeons.
What dungeon is he from?
He was from the revamp of Dead Mines and Cataclysm.
Oh, that was... I remember the Dead Mines.
If I remember correctly. So, is it a neutral card?
It is. It's a neutral card, legendary. It's an 8-mana, 5-7.
It's an 8-mana, 5-7. Death Rattle. Summon a random legendary minion. Holy crap.
Yep.
But it makes sense. It goes with the theme. They have all of these pilotable mechs that when you kill them, they summon random whatevers. So it makes sense for a random version, I'm sorry, a legendary version, to summon a legendary. That's pretty cool. It sticks with their theme. It's a 5-7 mech, so it even supports mech decks. And yep. You have one.
I do, and I like it a lot. And I was watching Trump play it because I obviously couldn't get in before the show, and he was going up against a control paladin who played Sneed's Old Shredder. And so that got me thinking that this is a card that's going to be in a lot of control decks. And
isn't that amazing that there are already people streaming decks that they've made with these cards that were just released like 4 hours ago?
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, I guess a lot of people like me just tossed money into the game and they got all these packs. They just had tons of gold saved up like you and Blacklaze. And we're able to buy lots of packs.
Yeah, one of the people, Ringo, in our chat room is saying that the arena's broken too. So I think that happened when there were the Nax glitches too. I think people couldn't get into arena then either.
Oh, and Ringo's wife is here, Desmira. Hello, Desmira. And I guess she opened up Mal'Ganis just like Xander did, our producer. Congrats, that's pretty nice. He's a Mal'Ganis. Such a cool card. I know we spoke about it earlier, but one of the better cards.
Wait a second. Ringo has a wife?
I know. I guess so.
You know, we're starting to disprove the theory that nerds can't get chicks because, you know, you have a wife, I have a wife, Ringo's got a wife, Xander's got a wife. Look at all of these geeks that actually have wives. So, you know, geeks right, today, and not the same as geeks used to be. But I guess there's a difference between adulthood and high school, isn't there?
Yes. You know what you call a nerd once he gets older? Call him boss.
Boss.
That's right.
Yeah. And the boss gets to say, remember when you used to kick my ass? Scrub that toilet.
That's right.
All right. So that was three. You got Vol'jin. You got Sneed's Old Shredder. You got...
I got the Neptulon. Golden Neptulon.
Golden Neptulon. And he's all wet. With golden, never mind. So what was your fourth legendary?
Okay, so my last legendary that I got, and I don't know how I feel about this card yet. I got the Trogzor the Earthinator. He's a Trog. He's a 7-mana, 6/6 neutral legendary. Whenever your opponent casts a spell, summon a burly Rockjaw Trog. I saw someone else playing this card on a stream already, and they seem to like it. For those of you that don't know, the Burly Rockjaw Trog is a 4-mana, 3/5. Whenever your opponent casts a spell, gain +2 attack. So that's actually kind of cool, especially in Constructed where there's spells flying left and right. But
you know what this reminds me of?
What's that?
Think of another legendary card that has a similar effect. Hogger.
Oh, yes, of course.
This is like Hogger on steroids. There's no taunt, but there's a lot of aggro there.
Right, yeah, with the summoning of minions. So
minions that get tougher.
One thing I like about this card is that he's 6 attack and 6 health, so those two numbers, 6, are awesome.
Makes him priest-proof.
Well, not entirely, because they can Shadow Word death
oh,
him.
Oh, that's right. It's the 4 that's the... What's that safe zone? Between the two powers. It's 4, right?
Yep, yeah. That's it. But it's the Big Game Hunter. So he's immune to Big Game Hunter, just like the Boulder Fist Ogre. 6/7 for 6 mana.
Did you say Ogre?
I did say Ogre.
I want to talk about Ogres for a moment, if you don't mind.
Yes, we shall.
There is something about Ogres that I guess the people at Blizzard must think Ogres are very bad at taking direction or just very stupid. You know why I say that.
I do. Can it be both?
Yeah, maybe it can be both. Also, I cannot do a search for ogre. It doesn't work. So anyway, there are a few ogres in this game, and every one of them has the ability or disability, 50% chance to attack the wrong target. Oh no, wait, there they go. So the ogre I got, which is a 5 casting cost, 6/6, has stealth. It's called an ogre ninja.
I got one too.
That an ogre ninja. You think ninjas are stealthy, right? And ogres are big and clumsy. So it's kind of an oxymoron just having an ogre ninja to begin with. But 50% chance to attack the wrong enemy. Then you've got the other ogres. You've got the ogre brute. I got two of those. It's a 4/4 for 3, 50% chance to attack the wrong enemy. You've got a legendary neutral ogre, Mogor the ogre. All minions have a 50% chance to attack the wrong enemy. It's a 7/6 for 6. So that basically is turning all of your minions into ogres. And then finally, there's a weapon for warriors. It's a 4 power, 2 duration, for 3 casting cost, 50% chance to attack the wrong enemy. So, it's a kind of interesting theme, but what do you think?
So, when I first saw this, I honestly thought that's terrible. Like, who would ever play these cards? The only thing that's good about them is if you silence them, they are stronger than what their mana cost is associated with. But do you know what the silver lining is for these ogre cards?
No.
If you have a taunted card out, okay, let's say your enemy has a taunt, okay, and you use your ogre, you have to target the taunt, right? Well, there's a 50% chance that you can bypass that taunt.
Now, Black Lace and I were discussing that earlier. Do you think in a case like that it will bypass the taunt, or do you think it'll automatically just do the taunt because of the taunt mechanic?
I haven't seen it happen, but I think that will be the case. And I think it will also, you'll be able to bypass taunt, and I think that you'll be able to hit stealth minions. You just can't target the minion. That's, we'll have to see what happens, but I'm pretty sure that's how it's going to work.
Okay, now just in our last turn, we were discussing a card, and I said, that seems like a cool card. I think I will look for a way to play that card. Do you remember what card that was?
No.
It was a card that silences all of your other minions.
Wailing Soul.
Uh-huh. Now we have a use for Wailing Soul, don't we?
Yes, we do. These ogres.
That's pretty cool.
They're big, bad, and beefy.
You heard it here first, folks. Wailing Soul and ogres. You think we're going to see it on the ladder? Maybe not, but I think you'll see a few of them out there.
Possibly. We'll have to see. Now, were you able to make any decks at all with your cards?
I haven't had time. I was at work. I was actually doing more working than opening cards. But when I opened up my packs, I just literally zipped through them to see if I got a legendary. I didn't even look at what they were until I got home and ate dinner at my desk while preparing the show.
Nice. Well, I was able to, as I was opening up my packs, I was looking at what I got, and there's a paladin card called Muster for Battle. It's a 3-mana spell. Summon 3 1/1 Silverhand recruits. Equip a 1/4 weapon. There's another paladin card called the Quartermaster. That's an epic. It's a 5-mana 2/5. Battlecry. Give your Silverhand recruits +2/+2. Now, I didn't get the Quartermaster, but I got 2 Muster for Battle. And I started to make a deck, and I did make a deck with Muster for Battle in it, as well as one of my favorite neutral cards in the set. It's an epic called Enhanso Mechanico. And he is, if I can just pull him up here, I believe he's a 4-mana 3/2. I can find him. Yes, he's a 4-mana 3/2 Battlecry. Give your other minions Wind Fury, Taunt, or Divine Shield. So there's a deck called a Shotgun deck, and you're basically just an aggro paladin. Throw all your minions out and just keep going to face. Pretty simple. But I wanted to make a deck with Enhanso Mechanico. I wanted to make a deck with Muster for Battle, and Sword of Justice. An old school Sword of Justice deck. It's a 1/5 weapon. Whenever you play a minion, you give that minion +1/+1. And I wanted Handsome Mechanico to possibly give everything Wind Fury and just go to town. So I did. I quickly made a deck. I took it to casual, and I won my first game. And then I had to go downstairs and eat dinner. And that's when I got out of Battle.net, and I couldn't get back in. So yeah, I played one game so far, and I've won, and I feel pretty happy about it.
Well, that's good. And that Sword of Justice was key in Dustin the White's winning of our first tournament. That pretty cool card. So I'm noticing a theme. We found a card that calls out the soldiers, like you just mentioned. And there was the card that called out the other Trogs. There's a priest card, Light of the Nauru. Restore 3 health. If the target is still damaged, summon a Light Warden. So there seems to be several cards, and I haven't even looked through the whole set yet, that summon cards already in existence. Did you notice that?
No, I didn't see it. What's the name of that card?
So, Light of the Nauru. It's a 1 casting cost rare priest card, and there's a chance to summon a Light Warden. And the card you were just talking about summoned something else, right?
Silverhand Recruits, the 1/1 tokens from the Paladin Hero Power.
Yeah, so there's probably more. And then there was the Trog one we came. So I'm going to look more deeply into the card set and see if there's any more summonings. We probably don't want to talk too much more about the, goblins versus gnomes, because there's plenty to talk about, and we don't want to go on for hours and hours. And we'll let Black Lace weigh in on her experiences next week. But you had some people write you this week, didn't you?
I did. We received a lot of emails from deck testing. I think we got 4 or 5. I typically do about 1 a week, so that was quite a bit of deck testing. So I did one this week. I did one from our friend of the podcast, Death Pwn. He submitted a Zoo Priest deck. So I'll just go ahead and read this here. I have a few of these weird theory crafting decks lying around. Here's one that was relatively decent in the November season. Plays a lot like Zoo, building on growing minions like Undertaker and Light Warden, and using Northshire Cleric and Loot Hoarder for draw. Uses Power Word Shield to get big value out of small guys like Leper Gnome. Trade and heal to get 2-for-1 or better. And your hero power makes early trades much more valuable if you keep your minions alive for another turn. Have fun and let me know if you have any problems. So, he's got 2 of every card I'm about to read off, and I'll just quickly go. Abusive Sergeant, Argent Squire, Holy Smite, Leper Gnome, Light Warden, which would go well with Light of the Nauru, Northshire Cleric, Power Word Shield, Undertaker, Direwolf Alpha, Haunted Creeper, Knife Juggler, Loot Hoarder, Dark Cultist, Harvest Golem, Defender of Argus. So, there's a lot of little drops in here. There's 16 1-mana costing spells. There's 8 2-mana costing spells, 4 3-mana, and there's 2 4-mana. So it kept breaking down in half, 16, 8, 4, and 2. I didn't do that well with this deck. I lost my first 2 games. I played versus a Hunter, Death Rattle Hunter, and I played against the Mage, Death Rattle Aggro Mage, and I just couldn't find my footing. It seems to be like all or nothing, clearly. Like you have to win early on or else probably not going to win at all. In game 3, I won versus a Shaman. I just had the proper cards in my hand. I played him. Light Warden was great. Right, 2 Light Wardens are incredibly strong early game. I lost against the Rogue, and then I played another Rogue. I was trying to find a different hero class to play, but I got another Rogue, and I said, you know what, let's just do it. And I won. So I ended up going 2-3 with the deck. I really think that now this deck could be improved with Light of the Nauru, which we just spoke about, the hero, the priest card. But it was a good time playing it. Light Warden was one of my favorite cards when I first started playing the game. And yeah, here it is coming back. So, and it looks like Blizzard wants us to play Light Warden, according to that Light of the Nauru.
I have a
card.
Confession to make.
Sure.
I don't think I have ever played Light Warden in any deck I've ever played.
Well, it's... it's not a very sturdy card. It's a 1/2, and every time that you heal a character is healed, yours or an enemy's, you gain +2 attack. So it dies pretty quickly because, like the Undertaker, it can get out of control fast.
Right. And I've seen a lot of people use it. It's just one of those cards that never managed to make it into my deck. You know, when you're making decks, you like have to make the cut somewhere. And so
right.
There's a lot of cards. And I need to stretch my imagination more and not use the same old cards. There may be 15, 20 cards in this game that I've never even touched. Not counting the ones I don't own, of course. Oh, there was another card that calls out Wisps. Did you see that one?
I did see that card, and I actually got it. What a weird card. Dark Whispers. Choose one. Summon 5 Wisps, or give a minion +5/+5 and taunt. I'm sure there's some use for that.
Was that a neutral card?
No, it's a druid epic.
Okay, so don't the druids have some kind of roar that gives bonuses to all of your minions when
they
attack?
Savage Roar, yep.
So wouldn't that Savage Roar make good use of 5 Wisps?
Yep, you definitely could. It's just that you'll have to wait a turn because they can't
attack
immediately.
Charge.
And if you have power... Jeez, what's that card called? It's the 3/2 that makes a panther or gives your minions +1/+1. Power of the Wild? Is that what it's called? I don't have access to my
Power
cards
of the
right.
Wild. Yes. 2
yep, there we go.
Cost. Yep.
So that'll be nice. You'll have a full board of 2/2s, that's the case. Or if you just want to beef up a minion, you have that as well. That's the great thing about the druid class, is that the word or. You can do this or that.
Yeah, well, druids, for those who might not know, the only class in World of Warcraft that have 4 different specs that they can play. Everyone else has 3 to choose from. Druids have 4.
That's right.
So, or is really defining of a druid. Not or as in metal, but either or.
The option. The choice is yours. The red pill or the blue pill.
So do you have anything else important to add before? We didn't get any reviews, and we didn't get much in the way of email other than your decks, did we?
We did an email from, let's see, Schnugan sent us an email.
Oh, Schnugan's has written us before.
He says, to all, I was playing a recent arena run and started out with a win in my first match. I always glance at my opponent's name when the match begins out of curiosity. But I did a double take when I saw the name of my second opponent. It was Tides of Time, who was probably one of maybe 5 professional players I could name or recognize. So Tides of Time is a professional Hearthstone player on Team Cloud9. I was aware that he streams a lot, so while I was playing on my iPad, I quickly pulled up Twitch on my phone. Sure enough, on about 30 seconds delay, there he was streaming our match for 20,000 viewers. So those of you that don't watch Twitch or aren't really used to it, the chat on the side is they call it cancer, or it's pretty toxic. It's a lot of spam. But when someone's watching a professional streamer play and they're playing against him, they say that's sniping, so you're stream sniping. So Schnugans was doing that, but not really. I don't think he was trying to cheat. He goes on to say, I even typed in chat, hi, it's your opponent, a few times, but he didn't pick up on it, as there were so many people in the room. But a few other viewers did take notice that my Twitch name was the same as my in-game name. I realized it was probably not very sportsmanlike of me to watch the Twitch channel while our match was being played because I could see his cards, but alas, it did not matter. My deck was mediocre and I drew pretty poorly and lost, with the deck ultimately going 1-3. But you know what? That happens, Schnugans. It's just the arena, especially, you know, currently, with everybody playing it. I tried to show my wife that I was playing in front of 20,000 people, but as a non-gamer, she was only moderately impressed. Oh well, I thought it was pretty cool. I can completely relate to you there, Schnugans. So thanks for the email, Schnugans. Yes, they call it stream sniping, and, you know, some people do it, gets the advantage, but I think there you weren't really trying to cheat, just trying to see if that was really him.
Well, you know what? Everything you do in life has its repercussions. And if you're going to go and stream other people without their consent, then you deserve to get spied on.
Correct.
Because these people that you play when you're streaming, they don't have any idea that you're streaming. They didn't give permission to be streamed. It's like, I would be mortified if suddenly I found out somebody was streaming my game and I was playing not my best. Maybe I was watching TV while I was playing or something. But that's, wow. Wonder if it could open up an entire debate about protocols and streaming. But maybe that's a subject for another time. But thank you for your email. That was a very interesting anecdote.
That it was, so thanks, Schnuggins.
Thank you once again for supporting the show and writing. Anybody else who wishes to tell us a story or ask a question or set us straight on something we got wrong, just write us. I'm not going to go and read off our email and our Twitter and all of that, because at the end, Black Lace's voice will be doing it as you're always accustomed to her doing. So on that note, I just wanted to thank Xander and the people at Holosuite Media for producing our show, for the awesome music by Awesome City Limits, and to all you listeners for listening. Any last words, McMech?
Holy crap, I just got into Hearthstone. I finally got in. After the show is about to end, I finally get into Hearthstone.
So hopefully everybody else is getting in too. So stop listening to us and go play some Hearthstone, play some Gnomes vs. Goblins, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye, everyone.
See you later, guys. The end is coming.
Winter's coming. I'm sorry, winter's here.
Yeah, it is. It's hitting hard. It's cold.
Yeah, and the next 2 days are supposed to be bad.
That's why you call out and just play Goblins versus Gnomes.
Nah, not 2 days. Maybe Wednesday.
Broadcast of A Worthy Opponent, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Monday, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at Worthy Opponent. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to awohearthstone@gmail.com. Welcome to our inn.